Well, Lord, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. It was that great country and western singer, songwriter, 91-year-old Willie Nelson, who said, "All you need to write a good country song is three chords and the truth." I do believe that that truth came out in many of his songs over the years, but especially in an applicable today in the song that he wrote, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys." The line in the chorus makes that truthful appeal, doesn't it? It says, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys, because they'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love." Now, whether Willie realizes it or not, he's acknowledging the truth that it is indeed not good for man to be alone. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God created heaven, and it was good. And God created dry land, and it was good. And God created plants, and they were good. And God created the stars and the sun, and they were good. And God created the birds, and that was good. God created all of the animals. It was good. God created male and female, mankind, along with all of the other elements and creatures of his creation, and together they were very good. The creation of man made God's good creation exemplary. Just a few verses later comes our reading from Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good," after declaring so many times that it is good. It is good. It is good. It is very good. But now he says, "It is not good. It is not good that the man he created should be alone." And with the certain clarity of the Trinity, God the Father uncovered a problem and provided a solution all at the same time. He said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." The Lord acknowledges the need for Adam to be accompanied. Isolation from the time of creation was never the intent for humanity. The Lord presented Adam with the birds, the fish, the animals, the mountains, the streams, all of the things that he created, and he sent them to Adam, especially those animals, for Adam to name, sent them to him. Adam was going to name them. And in that presentation, of all of the animals coming to Adam to be named, there was not a helper found to be fit for Adam. Although great companions, indeed, the animals were great companions, they simply could not provide the true help that mankind needs. There was something more that Adam needed. Even surrounded by God's very good creation, Adam needed something different, something more. He needed a true helper, companion, one to accompany him into life, together being fruitful and bearing new life into the created world. Essentially, we see Adam in front of the Lord, searching for the definition of himself. Who am I? Searching for his identity, who he is, perhaps even who he is not. Adam has identified and he knows that he's different from the animals. That he's not the same as them. In fact, he has dominion over the animals. He knows not fully who he is. There are no others of his kind. There are others of the other kinds, but there are no others of his kind. He knows not fully who he is, but he does indeed know that he is set apart from the other creatures. Pope John Paul II writes in his essay, The Meaning of Man's Original Solitude, all this part of the text is unquestionably a preparation for the account of the creation of woman. Right from the first moment of his existence, created man finds himself before God as in search of his own entity, the definition of himself, the fact that man is alone in the midst of the visible world, and in particular among living beings, has a negative significance in this search, since it expresses what he is not. So the Lord God gives Adam the great definition of himself by creating woman, because it is not good for man to be alone. Adam could not fully know himself apart from Eve. Adam's response was of great relief. In answer to the longing definition of his own identity, which was a complete provision from God from the beginning, Adam gives thanks to God, saying, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, as we read Scripture, we see that there is a change in vocabulary. There's a change of the words. Perhaps you noticed it. The vocabulary has gone from saying male and female to now man and woman. The animals are male and female. The people, God's very good creation, are man and woman. Therefore, as God's word continues, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Well, now the vocabulary evolves yet again to relay the significance of the relationship between male and female, man and woman, now husband and wife. And this is a sacred relationship, one meant to be set aside, just like the humans were set aside amongst animals, a relationship so bonded in faith, love, and sacrifice that no other humanly relationship could be as resolute. The relationship between one husband and one wife in marriage is only eclipsed by the relationship between God and his people, by Christ and the church. That relationship of absolute. God's people have an exclusive and unrepeatable relationship with God himself, just as Adam did on that sixth day, though we need help finding our true identity, finding the definition of who we are. God's relationship with his people is the representation of the marriage between Christ and the church, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a triune display of the perfection therein. This relationship then is lived out in the lives of Christians as we go about our daily treks. As we wake in the morning, as we brush our teeth and have breakfast, as we go to work or school, as we plow the fields or maintain the markets, as we attend church regularly, as we go to our kids' concerts and games, as we enjoy the company of each other, as we disagree, as we help each other through the most difficult times in life. The Christian life in relationship with others requires a certain and very high amount of self-denial. Self-denial that comes from the sacrificial giving of Christ of himself in order to restore the brokenness of original sin. This, brothers and sisters, is our true identity. Adam was indeed searching for who he was, and could not find the fulfillment in the relational search with the created things such as animals and nature. He needed another. He needed another. Beloved, we need relationships with other Christians. We need faithful Christian marriages. We need the broken relationship between God and man to be fixed. And all of these are possible only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus are the fulfillment of every promise of God and the only possibility for human unity. One of my heroes of the faith, former Archbishop Michael Ramsey, wrote nearly 100 years ago in his great work, The Gospel in the Catholic Church, he wrote, "United with Christ as they are, the Christians are not rightly the Christians will not rightly interpret their present union with him unless they constantly look back to the events whence it has sprung. And remember that these events, wrought once for all, are the source of everything that the Christians are and have and know. They are called upon not to advertise their own experience, but to praise God. To praise God for and to bear witness to the historical events wherein the name and the glory of God were uttered in human flesh. The faithful Christian will not draw attention to himself as an interesting specimen of the life of Christ, but dying to all interest in himself and his experience, he will focus attention upon the redeeming acts of Christ in history, as the center of man's prayers and praises for all time." In other words, the church looks back to the deeds of Jesus Christ in the flesh, and through these deeds, it has been sent into the world. From the deeds of Jesus in the flesh, there springs a society that is one in its continuous life. Many kinds of fellowship in diverse places and manners are created by the Spirit of Jesus, but they all depend upon the one life. Thus, each group of Christians will learn its utter dependence upon the whole body. It will be aware of its own immediate union with Christ. When we live in the acknowledgement of the greatest of relationships on earth in Christian marriage and in God's gift, the marriage between Christ and the church, we will never be alone. We will never be alone. God has already said, and we know, that it is not good for man to be alone. We are to have relationship both upward with the Lord and outward with others. That's a cruciform relationship, folks. In these godly relationships, we have the appeal to help brothers and sisters in storm-torn places like Western North Carolina. And moving from a place of having fun and fellowship together like a men's hike, and adjusting that to helping those who are in great need. That's good, godly Christian relationship. In these godly relationships, we all have the holy privilege to do things like sit at the bedside of someone who's dying, breathing their last earthly breaths. In these godly relationships, we make and hold the sacred vows of marriage. In these godly relationships, we forget ourselves. We forget ourselves and we witness to the redemption wrought once for all in the perfect example of marriage, Jesus Christ and his church. Friends, Scripture is bookended by marriage. In the garden with Adam and Eve, and in the New Jerusalem. In the New Jerusalem marriage between Christ and the church in the book of Revelation. And in between those two great examples of marriage, there are many stories of brokenness, broken relationships, and broken people. Indeed, it is not good for man to be alone. So may we strive for the godly examples of marriage, sacrifice, and relationship, and may we in our lives as God's people in community and relationship, dwell with one another in the great unity and relationship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace will never be forgot. Your mercy all my life will be my soul's forever song, my story and my life. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your name for all that you have done. From mountaintop to valley low, through laughter and through tears, surely the goodness of my God will follow all the years. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your name for all that you have done. Oh.